Well, today we have a very fitting message from the Bible, with today being Memorial Day, and we think about our military. We find the story of one of the most unlikely battles ever fought in the Bible today, and that's the story of David and Goliath. Now, I've heard the story of David and Goliath a thousand times. And just this last week in my Bible reading, I was reading through the book of 1 Samuel, and the story of David and Goliath was part of this my reading this week. And there were some things about the story of David and Goliath that I never really had thought about that came to mind as a result of me reading through it this week. And I thought I'd share some of that with you today. So we're going to read, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read a good portion of Scripture, so you may remain seated as we read through this. I'm going to read. You listen, follow along, and we're going to stop along the way and make a few comments, and we'll see what the Lord has for us today. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Before we get started, let me have a word of prayer over the message, and then we'll get going. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much once again for your love to us, for the privilege of being in church. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak and as I preach. Lord, I pray that you would help my mind and my thoughts to be your mind and thoughts, and help me to say what you would have me to say this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be inspired and warned and encouraged by this story from the book of 1 Samuel on David and Goliath. In Jesus' name, amen. So Samuel does a great job of setting this story up for us here in 1 Samuel. Now, David was not a stranger to Saul, or at least he shouldn't have been, because there was already some encounters with Saul leading up to the story of David and Goliath. You know, where David had come to comfort Saul when he was troubled, and he played his harp to help calm Saul down. And so, you know, this should not have been a surprise for David to show up. Saul should not have been surprised when he saw David. In other words, he should have known who he was when he came. But as we find out in the story, there's a lot going on here. So let's just start reading in chapter 17 in verse 1. And we set up the story of what's happening here in this story. It says here in chapter 17, verse 1, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. So you got these two armies facing off. One's on one side of the valley, and the other's on the other side of the valley. And they're basically at a standoff. So let's keep reading. Verse number 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, 6 cubits is about 9 feet. A cubit is 18 inches, roughly. So 6 times 18 is a lot. It equals out to about 9 feet. That's a tall man. It says, and he was 6 cubits and a span. I think a span is somewhere around 3 inches, 3 to 5 inches, something like that. So he was a tall man, about a little over, oh, he was over 9 feet tall. A very imposing man. I used to work with a boss who he was 6'6". And every time I was next to Phil, his name was Phil Hill. Every time I was next to Phil, it was like I was standing next to a hill, because he's tall. I can only imagine someone over 9 feet tall standing next to somebody like that. Well, I can imagine he's a pretty scary dude. You know, here's this 9 foot tall guy comes out and says, "All right, send me your best. Tell you what, let's just make a deal. This is an all or nothing situation. They beat me, you beat the whole Philistines. I beat you, I beat them, and we win the war." All or nothing. And the Philistines are like, yeah, okay, go ahead, Goliath. Yeah, you got this. And the Israeli army was quaking in their boots. They're like, we can't do this. And there was a standoff. And they were just kind of, Goliath kept coming out and parading himself around and saying, all right, guys, send me your best. We'll see who's going to win here. So then it goes on. Verse 5. And he had a helmet of brass on his head and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. I have a note here in the Bible. It says 160 pounds. That's how much that coat of brass weighed. Can you imagine carrying 160 pound, just, you know, your coat? I mean, this coat might weigh, I don't know, a pound and a half maybe. Can you imagine a coat 160 pounds? That's like wearing a, you know, ninth grader. that's heavy. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. So not only did he have all this armor on to protect him, he even had someone assigned just to carry his spear. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. So we've got a transition in the story here. We've got the battle situation going on over here in the Valley of Elah. And now we find another character introduced here, David, who we already know about. David's still at home at this point. He says, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man of the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, the next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest follow Saul. So we got this little parenthesis in the story where it starts to set up the fact that David is about to be a part of the story. And so David's 3 brothers had gone off to battle. They were in the Israeli army, and they went off to battle with Saul. And so then here it says in verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep to Bethlehem. So he went; he had gone down initially, but then he went back home to take care of business at home. And then it says here in verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, Goliath kept coming out. Now, mind you, at this point, David is back, still back home. And so Jesse, in verse 17, says, and Jesse, his dad, said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves. An ephah is a little over a bushel of parched corn. I must have been hungry. Take for your brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses. I like him better already. I love cheese. And take these and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah. Here we go again, another part of the story. Saul and they and the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So when he got there, he delivered the 10 cheeses. good man. And he said, I'm going to go see my brothers. And he goes down to where the battle's going on to look for his brothers. And he found them. Verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. So you get the picture. He's now where his brothers are. He found them. And as he's talking to his brothers, he looks up and here's Goliath coming out across in the valley. And Goliath is doing what Goliath has been doing for 40 days. Challenging, saying, somebody, anybody, send me somebody. Let's fight. If I win, we win. If you win, if that person wins, then you win the battle. And we're done fighting. Let's just make this simple. And David heard the words. And look at what he says here. It says at the end of verse 23, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, as they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he is come up. It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and will make his father's house free in Israel. And so the men are all talking to themselves and saying, well, if somebody could defeat him, can you imagine all the things that are going to happen to that person? You know, Saul's going to love that person. He's going to give him all kinds of riches, and he's going to give him his daughter in marriage and all of these things. And so David's hearing all this. And so it comes to verse 26. And so David spoke up. He spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killed this Philistine and taketh away this reproach in Israel? And so David heard what was being said, and David's like, okay, come again. Tell me again what's going to happen to this person that kills the Goliath. So the end of verse 26. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Okay, so now David's putting things in perspective. He's saying, okay, you're saying that all of these things are going to happen to this person that goes out and fights this guy. And he's like, who does he really think he is to defy the armies of the living God? You know, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. David kept things into perspective. And he thought to himself in his mind, and this, as I'm reading this past week, this is where it starts to click to me of things that I never really had thought about with David. David looks out and sees Goliath, and he's like, we got this whole army. I mean, in some respects, David probably is thinking, why do we care about his challenge anyway? Let's just take all of us and just go rush him and take care of business. You know, I would imagine that to some degree David's thinking this way. I mean, that's editorializing a little bit. It doesn't say that. But in my mind, I'm thinking David's looking at Goliath and saying, yeah, he's a big dude, but God's a big God. He's a bigger God than that guy right there. And so it goes on. Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so it shall be done to the man that killeth him. And so he starts filling him in. And then I literally laughed out loud when I read verse 28. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Eliab looks at his kid brother and he's like, you snotty-nosed kid, what are you even doing here? You should be back home taking care of those sheep that dad entrusted with you. You just came down here because you wanted to see what was going on. You know, curiosity killed a cat. And you're just down here meddling and making things. You're just kind of stirring things up here, asking all these questions. And here we are trying to defend Israel, and you're just down here causing problems. And he was doing what older brothers sometimes do. And anybody have an older brother? I got one. Sometimes they're a little annoying, aren't they? You know, you're just trying to do your thing, and your brother's like, no. That no. And that ever happened to you? Yeah, me too. Oh, really? He's sitting right here, right? That's the situation. David's there and he's starting to question, and Eliab, like any other big brother, is like, no, you don't question. You just do what I tell you to do. So as it goes on here in verse 28, it says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And so he looks back at Eliab. It's like, really? Seriously? You're going to talk to me like that? What have I done? Isn't there a cause here? I mean, here's Goliath. I mean, here's a golden opportunity. He says, we defeat him. You defeat the whole Philistines. That's the easiest battle we've ever had. Let's just take care of business. And verse 30, it says, and he turned from him toward another and spake after him the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. So then we get into the story. And when the words that were heard that David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So David must have been making quite a stir. He must have really been making a stink. I mean, getting face to face with his older brother Eliab and then talking to other people. And he's like, listen, guys, what are we doing here? All you got to do is take this one guy out. Yeah, he's big, but whatever. He's just one guy. And those words get back to Saul. And Saul's like, huh, I like what I'm hearing about this kid. It says, and David said to Saul, they got David and took him to Saul. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. He looked at Saul and said, listen, it doesn't look like anybody else is going to step up here. I guess I'll do it. And mind you, the Bible has some nice things to say about David. He says he was a good looking man. He the Bible calls him ruddy. In other words, he was a kind of a rugged, tough looking kid. One portion of scripture even says that he had very nice eyes. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but he had nice eyes. Saul's like, okay, tell me again about what it is you're saying to these other people. And David's like, yeah, it's just one guy. We should be able to take him. And he's like, I'll take him on. So Saul's like, well, if you're willing to do it, nobody else had seemed willing to do it. If you're willing to do it, okay then. It said, verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So Saul's like questioning David now. He's like, listen, kid, you're just a little too big for your britches now. This is a big seasoned man, and you're just a kid. What can you do against him? And David said in verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and I smote him and slew them. And the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And then Saul stopped him, and he said, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. So Saul said, okay, if you're willing to do it, fine. But I don't trust that you could just go out just like you are. Let me help you. And he put a helmet on him, and armor on him, gave him a big heavy sword. And David looked at Saul and he's like, I can't move around hardly with all this stuff on. How am I supposed to fight somebody? And Saul had good intentions. He wanted to protect David. But he's like, I can't fight this way. And he just took it off. And he said, listen, let me handle things my way, the way the Lord has helped me and blessed me in the past, and I'll just take care of this. In verse 40, it says, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So we all know the story. We've all sung the song. One little boy named David, one little sling. You know the song? And it goes down, and he picks five stones out of the brook, and he said, that's what I'm going to go armed with, my sling and my stones. And so he goes out, verse 41, and it says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and to the man, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, but he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. So Goliath sees him coming, and he's like, this is insulting. Really? You're going to send this little kid? This is all you're going to send to me? This is your best, your finest, your bravest, your strongest, your mightiest? You're going to send me this little kid? And he goes, what am I, just a dog to come beat back with a stick? No. He's like, no, I'm going to just rip you to shreds. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. And then we're going to take all the rest of the Jewish people, and you're going to be our servants forever. So David, look at this. This took some courage. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into thy hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So David wasn't intimidated. Well, why was that? He had the boldness from the Lord. He looked at Goliath and he said, oh, yeah, you really think you're big stuff, don't you? Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to defeat you. Not only am I going to defeat you, I'm going to cut your head off. And I'm going to feed your body to not just the birds, but to the beast of the field. Probably because there was more than the birds can consume all by themselves anyway, because he's a big man. Can you only imagine? Goliath is hearing these words, and he's probably thinking to himself, hey, nobody ever talked to me like that. Nobody has said anything like that to me ever. And you got to wonder if Goliath started to question and think, ooh, am I in trouble here or not? And then in verse 47, it says, 48. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came to and drew near to or nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine into the forehead. And that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face on the earth. So Goliath, he stood up and he started out towards David. He goes, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson. That David started going toward Goliath. But it says that not only that he just started going towards Goliath, he was running towards him. He ran toward Goliath. And as he's running, I'm not going to run, because it's not pretty when I run. He reaches into his bag, pulls out a stone, gets his sling out, and he starts slinging. And he's running and he's a slinging, running and slinging. And as he gets closer and closer and closer, all of a sudden he lets that rock fly. And Goliath's like, what is he doing? All of a sudden, boom, hit him right in the forehead. And a very well-placed rock from a sling right in the middle of the forehead, it doesn't matter if you're 9'4". You're going to drop like a ton of bricks. And that's exactly what happened to Goliath. It knocked him down. In verse 50, So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Remember, Saul had tried to give David a sword, and he's like, no, this is too heavy. I can't deal with this. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So here's the scene. He hits him with the rock. Goliath drops. We don't hear any more about the guy who's carrying Goliath's shield. He probably saw what was happening and said, I'm out of here. And so Goliath falls over into a heap. David runs up to him, pulls Goliath's own sword out, and he chops off Goliath's head. And that's the end of Goliath. And the story goes on in verse 52, it says, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sarum, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. It's a little gross, but kind of cool. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent. So David got all this stuff from Goliath, brought it back. And then it says in 55, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. You know, it's not often that in a sermon you read all 58 verses of a chapter. But you kind of have to read the whole thing to get the whole picture here. You know, a few observations, and I realize that it's 11:20. We'll be done here in just a few minutes. But a few observations from this story, and we'll be done. Probably one of the most recognizable and well-known stories in the Old Testament. But there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. We're not going to unpack the whole thing. But there are five observations that I made. Number one, David was available. David was available. Success can sometimes be seen as luck because it seems like successful people seem to always be at the right place at the right time. There may be some truth to that, but I think it's more than successful people are always looking for a way to serve, to be a blessing, have an impact. They are observant. And they are quick to act on perceived needs. All David was supposed to do was to run an errand. That's it. He needed to take food to his brothers. And he needed to take some cheese to the captain of the guard. Because apparently Jesse knew that he liked cheese. I'm assuming. I like cheese too. David was available. He made himself available. When he saw that there was a problem, he said, I can do that. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, whether it's at church, at home, in your community, by the way, the most active members of the community should be church members. If this church is not making an impact on this community, this church needs something to revive. David saw that there was a need, and David said, I'm available. I'll do it. Secondly, David was prepared. As a shepherd, the concept of protecting the flock was second nature to him. He assessed the threat. He recognized that he had to do something about it. He was even criticized. His own brother accused him of sensationalizing the situation. Saul tried to get him to wear Saul's own armor, etc. But the truth is, he'd been preparing for this moment his entire life. He wasn't about to back down from this guy just because he was big. I mean, after all, He had torn a bear and a lion limb from limb. Probably the two most feared wild beasts in that area. And that's what David's job was to do, was to protect the sheep. And he was bold. And he tore up a bear and a lion. And he's like, this is just a man. I mean, if I can defeat a bear and a lion, I mean, it's just a guy. He's big, but he's just a guy. So he had been prepared for his entire life. This Bible is worn out. You know whose Bible this was? We called her Graham. You knew her as Mary Alice. This was her Bible. Look how worn out it is. It's completely worn out. You know why? Every day she spent time in this Bible. When I got this Bible out, I thought I decided to preach from it this morning. In this Bible, there's little notes. There's bulletin from Oakland Baptist Church. A long time. I don't know what the date is on here, but there's old bulletins. There's notes. There's little pieces of paper with sermon notes on them. All throughout this Bible, guess what? Graham was prepared. She was prepared for whatever battle was going to face her. David was prepared. He had spent his life keeping the sheep, protecting the sheep, feeding the sheep. Think of the errand that he was there to run. He was there to help feed his brothers. He was always serving, looking for ways to serve and acting upon needs as soon as he found them. He was prepared. David was prepared. Not only was he prepared, he was authentic. He realized his own limitations, but he didn't let his limitations hold him back. In the Christian life, sometimes we look at others and we see, boy, they're making an impact. Wouldn't that be nice? Guess what? You can make an impact too. In your church, in your community, in your family, at your job. You can make an impact. There is no limitation that you have that should ever hold you back from doing your best for the Lord. David didn't have much. He was a young kid. And in that culture, youth was not seen as something to be celebrated. Youth was seen as, you know, you hide your kid. You know, later on in the life of David, when Samuel shows up at Jesse's house to help pick a king, he goes through all of the brothers. And Samuel says, well, isn't there anybody else? And, oh yeah, well, you know, David, he's out keeping the sheep. Mind you, this is the same David that killed Goliath. Same one. Goliath was already dead at this point. And Samuel says, oh yeah, well, bring him out. And he finds David. And David is the one with all of his limitations, culturally, physically, everything else. He was who God chose to be king. So David was available. He was prepared. He was authentic. Think of this. When Saul tried to put his fancy armor on him and said, you're going to need this to go out and fight that Goliath. David said, no. I got to be who I am. I can't be wearing your armor. Your armor is your armor. It's not made for me. He was authentic. Rather, in the Christian life, sometimes we see someone being successful in their Christian walk and we say, I have to be just like him. No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to be who God made you and created you in his perfect will and way to be. And God will use you exactly who you are and how you are and where you are. Because if God can use David in this story, this way, he can use you in making just as mighty of an impact for his will and his way. Number four, David was confident. He was confident. When Goliath came out and he challenged the whole army of Israel, David's like, I can take him. And then when he was out in the valley and David's like, Who are you? Just some kid coming to me with a rock? Huh. Well, this is going to be easy. David's like, oh yeah? Guess what? I'm going to knock you over. I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts. And guess what? We're going to be presiding over the Philistines. He was confident. He talked Goliath down and told him exactly what he was about to do to him. He had a plan. Now, I just heard this 2 weeks ago in a sermon. No, a week ago. A week ago today. I heard this in a sermon. Our pastor, he said, a plan is when a want to and a how to collide. Think of that. A plan is when a want to and a how to collide. There's a lot of things we want to do, but we don't have a clue how we're going to do it. David knew exactly what he was going to do. He's like, I'm just going to use the gifts that God's given me. And apparently God gave him the gift of a slingshot, and he used it well. The last thing, and then we're done. He celebrated the victory. He celebrated the victory. He recognized what God had done through him, and he celebrated. It says, here's what I wrote in my notes. It's important to note that David celebrated the victory. Victory in the Christian life is always a call for celebration. Now, I think what David did was gross. He took Goliath's head, took it back to his own tent, put it up on a pole. Apparently, that's how they celebrated things like that back in those days. It's a little weird, but he celebrated. I don't recommend doing that. I guess you could liken it to those of us that are deer hunters, that when we shoot a deer, we want to mount it and stick it on the wall. It's a little more, probably a little bit more tame than what David did with Goliath's head, but whatever. He celebrated. When we have victories in our Christian life, recognize them, celebrate them. Think of the greatest victory that's ever happened in your life as a Christian. What is it? Salvation, right? Celebrate that. Celebrate it daily. You can celebrate it daily by telling somebody, listen, God saved me, and he can save you too. Celebrate the victories that we have in our lives. You know, we could go on with studying the life of David for months and still not get all of the richness of that story out. But I hope this morning you've been challenged and encouraged by this story, because I sure was when I read it and then studied it out for today. You know, as we think about our lives, think of the challenges that you have in your life. Maybe you have a Goliath in your life that you just need to recognize God's boldness in order to face a situation that you're up against. I don't know what that situation is. Maybe it's an interpersonal relationship with someone at work or at home. Maybe it's a challenge at your job. Maybe it's a health issue. You know, God can help us through anything. If God could help David to defeat Goliath, you know, God can help us to defeat the challenges that we have in our lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love to us. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to read what the Bible says and all of the challenges that people faced in the Bible and how they were able to overcome them by your strength and by your power. Lord, we're thankful for the story of David and how he was able to defeat Goliath and how that he was able to use what you had given him, although seemingly meager abilities against such a formidable threat. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged and challenged that you can help us face any issue that we have in life, whether it's a spiritual issue, a personal issue, a health issue, an interpersonal relationships issue. Lord, we thank you for giving us the strength to face whatever Goliaths there are up against us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just going to ask one question. That's it. Is there anybody here this morning that I can pray for that you're facing some sort of Goliath in your life? And you'd simply raise your hand and say, pray for me, brother. I need some boldness like David had. I need some faith like David had. I need some courage like David had. Anybody like that? Raise your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Anybody else? Very good. Very good. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Before I finish my prayer, in just a moment, we're going to have a moment of invitation. If you'd like to take just a moment on your own, either here up front or right there in your seat, just to bow your head and say, God, help me. Give me courage like you gave David. Give me strength. Help me to trust you like David did. I'd encourage you to do that. Dear Jesus, you saw the hands of those that came up. But more importantly, you know the hearts and you know the burdens and the challenges that they face. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one of these situations and allow them, Lord, to trust you. Help them to trust you in whatever situations they are facing. That you would give them the boldness and the strength to be able to face those with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.